Okay, I'd like to introduce the first speaker. The speaker's name is Erica, from By Any Means Necessary in Butler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, I'm an addict named Erica. I'm a little nervous. I always get nervous before I speak. And I always figured that's my higher power's way of keeping me honest. Because I'm not quick enough to lie when I'm nervous. It's an honor to be asked to speak here. A couple years ago, nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. And it makes me feel blessed that people want to hear what I have to say today. It says in the IP about the triangle of self-obsession, about how when we're born and we're children, how the world revolves around us, that our needs are met automatically. And as we grow, we adjust and we learn to meet our own needs as we need. But being an addict, I expected everybody around me to meet my needs. And when they didn't meet my needs or my demands, I became angry. And the triangle itself, I believe, is, if I can remember right, resentment, anger, and fear. And the resentment part, like, is our resentments over the past, over things that happened, things we did, things that people did to us that we can't change, but we don't like. Things that happened to me that didn't go the way I wanted, things that did not meet my expectations. I know when I wrote about resentments, a lot of it centered around me, my self-centeredness. And that's a big part of my self-obsession. It's all about me. And I know as far as, like, resentments, I need to, like, replace that with acceptance. I need to accept that the past is gone. The past is done, and I can't change that. All I can do about the past is make amends for it and continue on. And in the present, I get angry whenever things aren't the way I want them to be. I get, I pout, which I never did until, like, I got to this point where that was, like, the last little thing I could do to, like, get my way, and that doesn't work anymore. I've learned that, you know, people get upset with me when I act like a child. So, I try today not to act like a child, but I found that the people I get angry at are a lot like me. They do a lot of the things that I either did or do today. It's the mirror image, and I need to learn to pray for them and to love them. And I'm learning that gradually. I'm learning that if I put myself in a position where I'm around this person, I'm able to deal with them a little better. I'm able to come to know them beyond that little bit of thing, that little bit of what they do that bothers me. Because there's always something more beyond that behavior. There's always something more behind that little thing that bothers me about someone. As far as, like, the future, it talks about the future and our fear of the future. And a lot of that, for me, ties in with just for today, because I had to learn that the hard way. You know, I always wanted to, like, make the future the way I wanted it to be. I always wanted to make things come out the way I want them, and they never, ever do. Sometimes I'll get lucky, and things will be like I want them, but they really aren't. They're the way my higher power wants them to be. All I can do is take care of what I have to do today and pray for the best. And usually if I do the right thing today, the best usually happens for me. a couple of months ago, they started doing tests. This is where I learned the lesson about not worrying about the future, not fearing the future. They started doing tests because, of course, we do a lot of damage to our bodies when we're out there. And the last time I was out, I did a lot of damage to my brain. So they started doing all these tests, and I'm in my head going, well, they're going to have to cut my head open. What am I going to do? They're going to have to cut me open. I could die doing this, you know? And I went for these tests, and I was worried about the outcome of the tests when there was nothing I could do about it anyway. And when the outcome of the tests was that they didn't have to do anything, they didn't have to operate, they could medicate me, and I would be okay, it taught me that, you know what, all the worrying I did not change how things were going to come out. All the worrying I did just gave me an ulcer for 2 weeks before I got all this the answers. All I can do is ask for my higher power's guidance. All I can do is ask for strength, that if anything does happen in the future, that I'd be able to deal with it. And a lot of that has to do with my support group. You know, if I come across something I can't deal with in the future, my support group is there for me, and they will help me to deal with whatever I come across in the future. So I know that anything that comes across my path, I don't have to be afraid of. I don't have to pick up over. And that's my biggest fear, is picking up over something tiny. Excuse me. Picking up over something and using that as an excuse to pick up. Because for me, there's no good reason to pick up today. I'm slowly learning to let go of my fears with the help of my sponsor, with a lot of trial and error, learning the hard way, putting myself through those lessons, and learning what my higher power has to teach me. When I did step six, a lot of this came into play for me in step six. It was all about me. It was, I wanted everything my way. I wanted people to behave the way I wanted them to behave. And of course they weren't. I had to stop and consider, you know, when my sponsor had me in like the first couple of months and she would tell me to do things and I would ignore her, I had to realize, you know, people are going to ignore me too. People are not going to do everything I think they should do. And I was able to identify that as a character defect. I was able to identify why I did it, and I was able to start identifying the situations that I was going to do that in and be able to pray to have that removed before I acted out. Something else my sponsor taught me was I can replace these things with a spiritual principle. I can replace resentment with acceptance. I can replace anger with love, and I can replace fears with faith. And that's really all I have on that. Thanks.
I want to thank Erica for sharing. Now, the next speaker we have is Dennis from the Growing Tree Group of NA.
Addict named Dennis.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. From the Growing Tree. It's the longest meeting in NA. In this region, anyhow, they have one down in Atlanta that's 6 hours long. So it lasts all night. It's a midnight meeting that lasts till 6 a.m. So about 4 a.m., that's when it gets real wild. I'm just kind of coming in for a landing right now, so I was sitting over there just trying to pray, and we just drove up here, and you know, driving could be a self-obsessing thing, but we got here. You know, we followed the directions with our own little twist to it, but we got here, and that's the important thing. And the other thing was nice, I got here on time. I like to get to commitments on time. In fact, I like to get there early today, a little bit early. So I'm just like not walking out of the car and walking in and boom, there you are. I was thinking about this topic, and so I read the pamphlet, you know. So we have a pamphlet. It's, I forget what IP it is. It's this green one, number 12. And it talks about pretty much what Erica had to say. I mean, she just ran down the whole IP to us, and so I don't really have a lot to add to that. But I won't sit down anyways. doesn't stop me. I'm gonna get smoked like a sausage here, though. I know that. That's all right. What's that? Yeah, it's on its way. Resentments, anger, and fear. that form the triangle of self-obsession. And I go along with that. How I look at the past, present, and future. And, you know, if I'm not, that's why we got a Just for Today program. If I get too hung up, and, you know, one thing, at least today I have a program. You know, for a long time I didn't have a program, so I did the best I could. It just wasn't very effective, you know, at bringing happiness into my life or any kind of joy or contentment. But I still was doing the best I could. I thought resentments, you just tried, you know, it depends on how bad the resentment was. For, you know, I could hold resentments for years. I mean, I've waited years and years to try to get people back. I mean, I can hang on, man. I can hold on for years. 15 years, that's not too long. It's like sweet when you get them, right? So to speak, but it's really not. You know, it's like, damn, that didn't feel as good as it should have. So I know that I could do that. Now, but I didn't know anything about that. And that was the information I had, was like, you resent, if people screw you or you perceive that they screw you, then you get them back later somehow. And that's okay to do that. The problem with that today is when I'm living in my past, I'm missing right now. So that's, and right now might be it. This could be it. This could be the high point of my life right here. In fact, it is the high point of my life. Right here, right now, this is the high point. Okay? And if I live a little bit longer, then that'll be the high point. But this could be it. This could be it. So I don't want to spend my last day here worrying about what somebody did to me or what I think they did to me or being pissed off at them or... Nah, I ain't got time for all that. I just don't have time for it. This might be it. All right? So I just got to watch out for that. You know, it says use acceptance on it. And I think a lot of time, I think love is like a big thing. And what is, you know, but then that asks, like, if you're like me, when I come to Narcotics Anonymous, I hadn't been reading the dictionary too much. I read the PDR, and that was about it. Some of you guys are familiar with that, light reading. But I didn't read the dictionary too much, so I didn't know what the definitions of words meant. And I thought when you said love, that meant sex. So I was I really didn't know what that meant. So I was at a meeting, and what's nice about coming to functions like this, I want to thank the committee for asking me to share anyhow. It is an honor to be here, and I feel like Erica. Nobody was pounding down my door to come and say anything for a while. What's nice about these things is we get to meet people from all over the fellowship, different places, you know, people we don't see at our home groups and that. And sometimes it's safer to go up to people you don't know and say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And then you can, like, drop a bomb on them because they're going back to their wherever, and you ain't going to see them. So, you know, who cares? Who cares if they think you're an asshole? Right? They're gone, man. So this guy says, I met this guy at this function, and he was from far away, man, like hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And he said, I love you. And I go, what do you mean by that? I took a chance and just asked him, what do you mean by that? And he goes, and he had an answer right away, too. So I know today it was my God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself to ask this guy. And he said, I accept you unconditionally. I was like, all right. I got something to work with now, anyhow. So then, of course, I think I gave him credit for saying that three times, and I pretended like I said it. you know how we are with that. But I was deep. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm deep. I'm like the Grand Canyon. I'm really deep. I just signed a paper to say I wouldn't swear, so I won't. It depends on what you mean by profane. You got to define that to me, too. But anyhow, I don't want to get into all that. Anyhow, I think love is a big thing for resentments, you know. And if I could just see that that these are people, you know, at the time, this could have been anything, man. This could have been a fellow addict, you know. And if we're using together, then I know that they got, you know, I got to go before them because they got to go before me. And, you know, why worry about if somebody tapped a bag on me 20 years ago? Don't worry about that shit. Or I seen him, like, slipping a note to my old lady or something like that. And I'm walking around. This guy's sleeping. I'm walking around all pissed off. like reverse murder, or murdering me. You know, I'm killing me hoping he'll die or something. I don't know. It's just retarded, though. But it, that doesn't stop me. That doesn't stop me. But what I could do is I could come to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. This topic will come up, resentments. We'll talk about resentments. We'll talk about dealing with resentments. And then I'll remember that, hey, resentments aren't good for me. It's something that's not good for me because this is the high point of my life. And, you know, I might be out of time after today. When I was using, that was my thing. It was like, there's always mañana. There's tomorrow. Don't worry about it. There's tomorrow. You don't know that? I mean, I hope there's lots of tomorrows left. Last night we were at a little function, and we just had the 50th anniversary of Narcotics Anonymous, the 50th birthday party, and this one dude goes, I hope I'm there for the 100th. I didn't think about that, but I thought, whoa, that would rule. That's like a day at a time. That's 50 years, man. I could go for 50 more of this. This is all right. This ain't like, you know, shameful and humiliating and torturous. I could go for some more of this. It's getting my man John now. I'm watching his smoke, too. It's like, it's getting everybody, so it's kind of equal opportunity abuser there. So it's like the disease, right? It's everybody. Today. What was today? Anger. Yeah. Getting angry about today. Hey, I'm going to get... Anger is not a bad thing for me by itself. I was born with anger, so that means it come from God. That means it's got some kind of good to it, but I could take anything that's a good thing and I could make it a bad thing. You know, if I hang on to it too much, and then once again, it's like taking me out of the moment, man, when I'm being angry at what you did or what I think you ought to do. And a lot of times, you know, there's steps to help with all that stuff. But for me, what it is I got to watch out when I get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired, too serious. When I'm in one of those bags right there, then I'm going to get angry. And everything's going to start to piss me off. And it's really not you pissing me off. It's probably that I need a nap. Or I need some food. Or I just need to go to a meeting. I mean, it's something simple. I just need to go take care of something that's basic. But I never think it's, you know, that. So that's why I got to keep coming to meetings, because we talk about that at meetings, too. I mean, it's really about me going to meetings for all of this stuff. So when I don't get that, I'm gonna get angry, you know. Or if you want to really get into some anger, just have some children, man, and then you'll learn about all that. They won't do what you tell them to do, no matter how old they are, even when you know that they're acting like you used to act. So it gives you a different appreciation for your parents, too. So, I mean, you get the whole thing here. You get the whole thing. The future is the one that's really been I've been looking at lately, and it talks about having fear. And the other thing about I wanted to say about anger, it talks about in the pamphlet, it talks about love, but a solution for anger is gratitude. And that's a for real solution. I mean, we were talking before, like... I got problems today, like the front brake on my motorcycle isn't stopping fast enough. How many of you'd like to have that problem? Yeah. That's only one of my two motorcycles, by the way. I have a backup. I mean, it's just terrible. Yeah. It's just awful, man. You know what I mean? These are my problems today. So when I start to take like a little anger fit, I mean, I got to stop and think about it. And lately, I've been fortunate that's been out in front of me. That's been out in front of me. And part of it is that just for today, I had a big year. I had a big year this year. This is 2003. I had a big year. I graduated from college. I've been going to college for 21 years. You can't finish things. This takes time. This takes time, all right? So I finished. So I was able to finish that by coming to meetings and trying to work a program and talking to you people and leaning on you when it got rough and having you hold my head and having my wife hold my head and getting under the bed and getting out from under the bed and you know, the whole thing. And then I celebrated 25 years clean. So that was another. I'm not doing this, so I mean, I'll clap for it because it's heavy duty. That says something about Narcotics Anonymous. If you're kind of new, I consider myself new. If you're newer than 25 and you think, you know, being clean 25 years would be a good thing, you can do it. I'm here to, I'm in front of you. I'm proof. I'm proof that you can do it. If you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, it's all right. I'm going to try to keep doing it. I say this all the time. All of you could quit. I ain't quitting. You can all quit. So, it's all right. I won't take it personal. I'll go find somebody new. You'll find a new one, man. That happened. And then I, you also might not notice, but I was your representative at the international meeting at the World Convention of Narcotics Anonymous in San Diego. I was the USA representative there. I spoke with people from Bahrain, Tokyo, Singapore, Costa Rica, Norway, and Switzerland. And I was the USA rep. It was kind of like the Olympics of recovery, man. It was totally awesome. And what I got from that was the God of my understanding said to me, okay, man, what's it going to be next? Now what are you going to use to say you ain't good enough? You hear what I'm saying? What am I going to use next to say I ain't good enough? I got a PhD. They got to call me doctor where I work now. And I like it. I like it. When I get mail at home, it has Dr. Haggerty on it. I like that. I kept the first piece that came. All right? I like this. You know, and at 25 years, that's tremendous. That's a quarter, man. That's a ton of days. That's a lot of shit happens in that time. A lot of shit can happen, you know. Asking for help a lot. And then being a speaker at the World Convention. Because I was one of them people, like, how come they don't ever ask me to speak? I know there's somebody else out here like that, too. Who should ask me? But, you know, too humble to say anything, right? But I should be the speaker at the World Convention. You know, it's true. We all be thinking that. But they did ask me. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a buzz. I still got a buzz. And then this dude played the guitar there. And he played a song for the addict who still suffers. I'm telling you, it was like, whoo. He said that. It was heavy, man. I'm telling you. It was a beautiful thing. So when I look at my future and worry, what I'm doing is denying that all this good stuff happened to me this year. We have four children. I've been married for a while. We have four children. They're all physically healthy. Mentally, they're all like us. So, I mean, what can you expect, really? They're nowhere near as bad acting as my wife or me. We were like two Tasmanian devils. You ever see Taz go through his thing? So they're nowhere near that bad, you know. But I still worry about their future. You know, and I got to just turn them over to God. They got a God. Just turn them over, man. Let them have it. So we're, you know, getting out in the future, man. Having fear of the future. Man, that's just where they like the acceptance and the love just got to come in. And just stay in it just for today. One thing I know, and I feel like I know, and I want to say that I know, is that recovery is an uphill journey, okay? You can't coast through recovery. It's uphill. Cars don't coast uphill. You know, you go into coast mode, you're going to be coasting downhill. And you know what's waiting at the bottom of the hill, and it's some shit. And it's not going to be good. It's going to be worse than last time, which is unbelievable to me. I don't know how it could get any worse than last time. I still don't want to be that guy again. That guy was a crumb. I'm telling you, man, this disease made me into somebody I do not want to be. I don't want to be that cold-blooded. I thought that would be cool. That's not cool for me. It's not cool saying things, but saying the kind of things I was saying. It just ain't cool, all right? And it'll be worse than that. We're talking about that on the way up here, man. Why do we got to, you know, you got to be tough to be in recovery today. I'm going to tell you that right now. You think this is a program for sissies, you got it all wrong, man. You got to be tough. You got to be for real tough here. We kid with each other and say, like, put your purse down. I got a buddy that says it all the time. Put your purse down. What are you, sissy? Say shit like that. It's just like, dude, relax. No more testosterone for you. But you got to be tough here because you got to be willing to stand by and let go of people and let them go through their process. And sometimes you got to stand by and watch them die. All right, and you got to watch them lose their kids. You got to watch people lose their kids, and you got to watch their kids die, and you got to watch them get diseased and just flip out, man. You got to see them on the street all wigged out. You know, you got to be tough to be in recovery, man. This is a program for people. You got to have a God to be in here, but you got to be tough. Some of your best friends, man, are going to quit coming to meetings, and they ain't going to use, but they're going to be like, they ain't going to be your friends anymore. You're still going to love them. They're going to be like nutty. They're going to be like really nutty. And you're just going to have to stand by and watch that. Okay? So I'm going to try. You know, I'm working on making plans for the future. I mean, making plans is a good thing. You know, it's like planting a garden. You got to plant the garden like months before you want the tomatoes. You can't put a plant in the ground and go out the next day and go, where are you? Ain't going to work. You know, it takes a long time. You got to put them in the ground. So it takes a plan to do that. So I got to have plans for my life, but I can't be like all freaked out and flipped out about my plans. I got to know that there's a God in my life that can make a bad thing good and can turn things around for me. I don't want to talk any longer, so thanks for letting me share.
Thank Erica and Dennis for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. I'd like to open the podium up right now for any comments you might want to have. Anybody like to come down and share? Got a great way of closing the meeting after the Just for Today reading. And that's forming a circle and closing it with the We Version of the Serenity Prayer. If you want to come and read the Just for Today reading, please.